the book of Acts chapter 16. We're following Paul and Silas on their missionary journey now. And Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. I'd love to know how he did that. Anyway, it doesn't say. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. If you're British, you have certain problems. I came across this on Facebook. These are problems only the British have. If you're American, you don't have these problems unless you're Minnesota nice. But for the British, these are the problems. We just put. I just chose some of the problems that the British have. They're coming on the screen now. Not quite catching someone's name means you cannot speak to them again. Realizing you entered the wrong shop and having to pretend to look around for a bit before leaving. Worrying you'll be suspected of thief if exiting a shop without purchasing anything. Saying you're pleased with your haircut despite the deeper inner sadness it's causing you. And deeming it necessary to jog over a zebra crossing while throwing in an apologetic mini-wave to the cars that have stopped. As I say, if you're not British, that won't make any sense at all to you. We are a nation besieged by angst and worry and concern. And not surprisingly, Christians, too, are worried and anxious, especially when they read Bible verses like Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came to the disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Christians get anxious and concerned because we're not doing enough. I'm not talking to enough people. I'm not witnessing enough to people about Jesus. And it kind of builds up. And Many Christians, we read things like that. We hear some of these great evangelistic appeals or missionary appeals, and we feel, "Oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing enough." We start beating ourselves up. Well, can I say that sometimes maybe we do need a bit of a shake up, and sometimes we do need a bit of a prod. Phyllis Tickler, the American writer, says every so often, every few centuries, the church needs a car boot sale. And the truth is that many of the great movements in church have come, many great movements in human history have come through revolutions. I'm fascinated as having a scientific background of the scientific revolutions that came through people like Copernicus or Galileo or Newton or Einstein, Darwin, Mendel. In Watson, Crick and Francis with the DNA, and Freud or Jung. And you just go through history, scientific history, you see huge steps taken forward when some scientist just comes to the fore and makes things happen. And the church is like that. The church tends to go in fits and starts and bursts of activity. David Bosch, the mission writer on mission, looks back through 2,000 years of history and says the early church made three mistakes. He said the early church became a religion, not a community for the sake of others. It ended up as a religion when it was never meant to be a religion. It was meant to be a community for others. It became an institution and not a movement. And he cites these different characteristics of institutions and movement. An institution is conservative, a movement is progressive. An institution is passive, a movement is active. An institution is influenced by outsiders, a movement influences outsiders. An institution looks to the past, a movement looks to the future. An institution is anxious, a movement takes risks. An institution guards boundaries, a movement crosses boundaries. And as I read that, you know, I think modern day church looks awfully like an institution and not much like a movement at times. And he says the third thing that the early Christians failed to do is they didn't make the Jews feel at home. And Jews became very xenophobic after the battles with the Romans in AD 70 and in the second century. And Christians also fell out with Jews. So he said that was another big mistake the early church made. None of these are inevitable. We look down through history, we see movements like Celtic Christianity, which was the Christianity that birthed the Christian faith in Bangor and in this region. It had all the marks of a movement, none of the marks of an institution. We look at the Radical Reformation in the 16th century. We look at movements like the Salvation Army. We look at the Pentecostal movement at the beginning of the 20th century. So the church doesn't have to fall into these mistakes, but sometimes it does. So we're going to look at Paul and how God led Paul, and just reflect a bit on that and the lessons that it teaches us. So we're going to begin reading in chapter 16 of Acts, just verse 6, just the first part of verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. And it must have taken them a long, long time. We're going to see, actually, they walked 600 miles on their missionary journey. They walked hundreds of miles without doing very much. So the first thing I want... But they're heading for a big boundary. There's a big crossing the boundary that happens at the end of the modern story. So the first lesson is this. It takes time to reach the boundary you have to cross. As Christians, sometimes, whatever that boundary might be, it might just be the boundary into our neighbour's house to become friends with them and to share our Christian faith with them. It might be a boundary across the desk, across the office, into the next cubicle, just to get to know somebody. Sometimes it takes time, and we mustn't be anxious if it's taking time for us sometimes to move and to cross boundaries. It takes time to reach the boundary you have to cross. I'm a very bad gardener. I really am. I'm an anxious gardener. That's my problem. I'm an anxious gardener, and the real gardeners get very frustrated with me because they see these nice plants I've planted in my garden, but I'm so anxious that if I get a bare patch in the garden, I've got to plant something there. And if I make a new flower bed, I can't leave it empty. I've got to plant it. And so I'm so anxious, I overplant it and I plant things too close together. And they look fine for about 6 months. But after a year, they've all grown. And they've all started bumping into each other. It looks a mess. And you're waking in the middle of the night by the rhododendron fighting with the ferns. And the rose tree looking down on them and saying, look, keep your leaves to yourselves. Don't make me come down here to talk to you. You know? So I have my garden... It's really a battleground of plants. It's not a peaceful haven, my garden. The plants are banging into each other and fighting for space and air and everything because I am an over-anxious gardener. So the second thing, second lesson we learned from this lesson is learn to cope with periods of inactivity in your life. Paul and Barnabas are on their way to Europe, but they've got to get there. And the Holy Spirit won't allow them to stop and preach anywhere else on the way. They've got to get there. They just got to keep, they're going to have to keep walking. And it's going to take them a month to walk every day, just walking and walking. And they apparently don't stop to preach. I mean, I like to think sometimes of Luke because he was a doctor, you know, with a big, big covered wagon selling potions out the back of his wagon and preaching the gospel. But I'm sure that's not how it was. Maybe Luke sold a few medicines along the way to support them. I don't know what he did. But the truth is that sometimes in your life there are periods of inactivity. It could be for ill health. It could be just because you're unemployed. It could be that there's something happened or you're in between jobs. You're not doing much. Those happen. Learn to cope with them. Because God was about to do a wonderful thing through the Apostle Paul. But at the moment, he's not doing anything very much. I've just picked out, there's loads of Psalms that talk about this kind of thing. I just picked out Psalm 16, verse 5 and 6. And Psalm 16, verse 5 and 6 just talks about God making the boundaries. Lord, you've assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. God sets your boundaries in life. And accept the fact that God sets your boundaries. And they're fine. And sometimes you're going to have to cross boundaries. And sometimes you're just going to have to relax within your boundaries. That's the way it is. And the third lesson I think we learned from this is that the will of God is usually a circuitous route. Somehow you never seem to go directly from A to B when you're walking with God. Paul has to get to Greece. Now, the easiest way would have been to have caught a ship from Antioch. But that doesn't what happen. He walks up into the mountains, he meets the church, and he sets out on this 600-mile walk. Sometimes the will of God is a circuitous route. In fact, it usually is. And as we look at the map, you can see he's going anti-clockwise, by the way, on this second missionary journey. You can see he's going through, up and down, back and forth, and he's going to end up in Europe, and then he's going to come all the way back. And that was an enormous journey, and it took a lot of time. Wore out a lot of sandals, I expect. I had to stop off at Clark's at every place and buy a new set. But it's a circuitous route. And you can see in the very top corner, that's where they're aiming for. In the very top corner up here, that's where they're going to go. But they don't know they're going to go there when they set out. That's the thing. They didn't know they were going to go there. I mean, you book your holidays in Greece well in advance, don't you? But Paul didn't do that. He didn't know he was going to end up there. In fact, often in Paul's life, he found roundabout ways to get to people. In Romans chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, I love this verse. He says, I pray for you I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. That's what he wants, to visit the Christians in Rome at one point in his life. He does get there, but it's rather circuitous. He ends up getting arrested and taken there as a prisoner. It was not exactly how he planned it. It was a circuitous route. He didn't expect to turn up in Rome like that, but he did get there in the end. It involves also, by the way, a shipwreck and getting bitten by a snake and all kinds of things. But he got there. In the end, a circuitous route. Sometimes God gets you there, but not the way you think you're going to get there. I'm not really sure that Paul imagined he's going to set out on a 600-mile walk when he set out on this journey. So when you're crossing boundaries, accept the fact that it takes time to get to those boundaries, and accept the fact that, you know, maybe it's a long way round. And maybe you do spend quite a lot of your life not doing very much. But that's all right, you know. Let me calm you down. That's okay. God knows about that. God's fine with it. God will use you as he wants to use you, where he wants to use you. You relax and you enjoy his presence in your life. Second thing I want to point is this. Let's go back to chapter 16, verses 6 to 8. Crossing the boundaries, Paul and his companions travel throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Now, I kind of imagine that they had prayer meetings about this. And I would imagine that the prayer meeting would go something like, Lord, Lord, just open the doors for us in Phrygia. Lord, just give us an opportunity to preach in Galatia. Lord, Lord, we see Bithynia there. Lord, we want to go to Bithynia. Lord, open the doors for Bithynia. And God says, no. So my next lesson is this. Next lesson is this. The will of God needs unanswered prayer. If God's going to get his way in your life, he's got to stop answering some of your prayers. That's the truth. Remember that unanswered prayer is part of the web that God weaves into our life. So sometimes God will not answer your prayer for a very good reason. Accept the fact that sometimes God says no. When I was called to work in South America, I had to go to Bible college. And my first choice was Spurgeon's College, a good Baptist college. And my church wanted me to go to Spurgeon's College. And Spurgeon's College was full. That was okay, so I went instead to London Bible College. And I had a great education there, and thankful to God for it. Had I gone to Spurgeon's, I would probably have been persuaded to do a three-year course rather than a two-year course, which meant that I would have turned up at St. Andrew's Missionary College in Birmingham after my wife-to-be had left. So, you know, the fact that God didn't answer my prayer to go to Spurgeon's is the reason today that I'm not lonely, miserable, and dressed in clothes that don't match in color, basically. You know, God had to answer that prayer with a no. You're not going there, you're going there. Accept it. You know, accept the fact that God will weave unanswered prayers into your life from time to time. And you just have to do that. A.W. Tozer, the American writer, said, if the Lord is in it, it flows. If it is forced, it is of the flesh. I'll read that again because it's a tremendous insight. If the Lord is in it, it flows. If it is forced, it is of the flesh. So Paul and Luke and Silas and Timothy keep walking. And this is my next lesson from the passage. Sometimes the will of God is not clear, so you just have to keep on walking. And there's nothing unspiritual about that. Not being sure where you're going, but I'm just going to keep on walking anyway until it becomes clear. If the door's just been shut, it means the door's going to open somewhere else. And you're just going to have to keep on walking until you find it. I'm afraid there's no easy solution. So, crossing boundaries. Keep on walking until God's will becomes clear. And finally, let's look at verses 9 and 10. Then it all becomes clear. He's walked 600 miles, he still doesn't know why he's here, and now it becomes clear. During the night, Paul has a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And they said, that's why we're here. Now we understand why we've been doing nothing for a month. Now we understand why our feet have got massive blisters on them. Now we understand why we ache when we get out of bed every morning. It's because we're going to Macedonia. And my final lesson this morning is this. There is a moment to step across the boundary. There is a moment when you step into someone else's territory, into someone else's life. There's a moment when the door opens. It took 300 years for the church to step across the boundaries of the Roman Empire and begin preaching to the barbarians. That would have included the Welsh, by the way. It took 500 years, in fact, for them to preach to the Welsh before St. Daniel arrived here in Bangor and the gospel began to be preached to the barbarian Welsh. It was 1,000 years before the gospel began to be preached to the Chinese. It was 1,500 years before the church finally got the message that the gospel was to be preached to all nations. God calls us to cross boundaries. I've always been inspired by the Catholic missionary, Francis Xavier. He was challenged as a young man with the verse, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And he set out on a crazy journey across the world. He preached the gospel in 12 languages. Got as far as Japan preaching the gospel. He was crossing boundaries 200 years before the Protestants and the Calvinists got the same message. A man of huge vision, always been an inspiration to me. He saw the call first and went there. He crossed boundaries while others were reluctant to go. And it could be the boundary is just your neighbours. It could be that you need to break out of that British reserve and invite your neighbours around for a drink at Christmas. Could be that you've got to start taking caking on Fridays for your workmates and sharing it with them. It could be that we need as a church to start work in a village nearby. It could be that God's calling us to do that. There are boundaries. Expect God at times in your life to call you across boundaries. It will happen. And when it happens, it will become clear. And when it's clear, it will flow and God will bless us. God has not asked you to preach to everyone any more than he asked the Apostle Paul to preach to everyone on his 600-mile walk across Asia into Europe. There's a time and there's a place. God doesn't expect you to be super active all your life. There will be periods when nothing much is happening. And that's fine. Just live with God and keep on walking. There are times when God makes it very clear. Bill Hybels said, if you're at an airport, you'll notice that those who have confirmed tickets are relaxed. They're sitting down just waiting for their flight to be called. Those who haven't got tickets are up on their feet on the reserve list, checking, hoping they'll get a flight. They're in constant anxiety and constant worry. Listen, guys, you've got the ticket, all right? You've got the ticket in God's kingdom. You belong where you are. God has set your boundaries. And when it comes time to cross those boundaries, whether it's today or tomorrow or next month, God will step with you across those boundaries. You don't need to worry. God will lead your life. God will lead you through this world. God will use you in his kingdom. He's fine with it. He just wants you to enjoy him and walk with him as you do it. I'm going to invite the bands to join me on the platform now. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for our missionary links. Seemed like a good moment just to stretch our hands across the world and pray for those we support who've crossed cultural boundaries and are living in different parts of the world. So just remain seated, please, as I pray. And let's just pray. I'm going to pray, begin with, for Tim and Rosie in Brazil. Tim and Rosie have just been asked to cross boundary. They've moved. They are moving 90 kilometers to pastor a large church. And they ask for our prayers. Lord, we pray for Tim and Rosie as they take up a new challenge, as they also prepare for Rodrigo's wedding in the city of Dourados. Lord, bless Tim and Rosie as they take on the pastorate of a thriving church, that it may grow and prosper under their ministry. Give them a wonderful time in the town of Maracaju in Mato Grosso do Sul. Talking of crossing cultural barriers, how about Hull for a cultural barrier to cross? Pray for Chris and Anna Hembry in Hull, in one of the most economically deprived parts of the Great Britain, as they work there with Youth for Christ. We pray that you bless them and encourage them. Keep them safe in sometimes a dangerous neighborhood. We pray for Peter and Rachel Calvert in France, church planting and spreading the gospel in France. And we pray for them that you bless them and encourage them this day. Be with them in their services. Pray for Andrew and Susie Smith, who are working in a sensitive part of Africa. And we pray your blessing upon them, Lord, that you keep them safe and you open up doors, especially as they try to grow their business there and to employ local people. Pray for Duncan and Trudy, that you keep them safe and well, especially Duncan as he flies, but bless them and baby Reuben and ask your blessing on them. For Colm and Catherine over the water there in Ireland, working with OM, that you bless them and encourage them this day. And for Mark and Eve out there in India, Lord, again, we pray that you encourage them, bless them. Lord, this morning, we just reach out to them and thank you for the boundaries they've all chosen to cross, stepping into places that were not within their comfort zones necessarily at first. But we ask that you bless them and encourage them, that as we share with them in spreading the gospel, that, Lord, you bless us, encourage us, that we might, through them, reach out to the four corners of the world. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.